It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
You need to understand what your relationship to specific foods are. And in some cases, not eating something is not restriction. It's an act of self-care.
If you're interested in figuring out how to eat to support your personal health and well-being, you're going to love today's episode with Mia Rigdon. Mia and I are going to be chatting about intuitive eating, how to navigate all the information out there when it comes to diet, to really find out what works for you as an individual. Mia is a board-certified nutritionist and a trained chef with a private nutrition practice in Los Angeles. She also has a book that's going to be coming out in January of 2023 called Foodwise, a fresh approach to nutrition with 100 delicious recipes. So Mia is going to be sharing some quick, easy, accessible recipes, as well as how to figure out what foods work for your body. Now, a quick reminder, this is not meant to be medical advice or treatment recommendations. Always talk to your healthcare provider about recommendations specific to you and listen to that full medical disclaimer at the end of this episode. I'm super excited about this. Let's go ahead and welcome Mia to the show. Mia, super pumped to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So you have some exciting things in the works, and I'm really excited to chat with you about it. But to start, let's just talk a little bit about your background. I'd love for you to share a little bit about yourself and what you're currently working on.
Yeah. So I grew up in California. My grandmother was a nutritionist. My whole family loves to cook. And so I'm a board certified nutritionist, but in addition to that, I'm a classically trained chef. So when I was graduating from university, like lots of people, not sure what I wanted to do, I ended up moving to New York and going to culinary school. And I was working for Danielle Boulud, French chefs in New York. And I was really struggling to find this balance because I didn't feel good, but I loved food. I loved dining out. I loved traveling. I loved living in New York City. Yeah. Those were passions of mine. And I thought, this can't be it. I found myself, I was doing these like really restrictive juice cleanses. And then I'd be going to like, because of my work, I'd be going to some like fabulous tasting menu dinner. Yeah. And I couldn't figure out how to reconcile the two. So in my mid 20s, I went back to school. I got my health coaching certificate and I started really trying to work with people and use my culinary knowledge to help them make healthy eating more exciting. And in that process, I realized that people had real health issues that I didn't feel like I was equipped to answer. So then I went back to school and got my master's, did the 1,000 hours of practice, the board, and, you know, the super hard test and the board certification. And now I've been, you know, practicing for quite a while, but my nutrition practice is really based on my love of food. And most of the clients that I work with, they love food too. And they are busy and they don't have time to cook everything. And they like to travel and they want to try that cool new restaurant and they want to have exciting dinners. So it's like, how can we blend the clinical with the practical and find, I call them productive foods, those foods that, you know, look good, taste good, smell good, but then they make you feel good. And that's really what I try to help people get towards. So I work with clients one-on-one. I have some online courses and then I've got a book coming out in January.
So exciting. And your book is called Foodwise. Mm-hmm. So what prompted you to write the book? What was like the initial trigger for like, I've got to put this out there in the world?
Yeah. So I felt like, you know, there's so much wonderful nutrition information out there, but I felt like the cookbooks that I was going to cook, you know, dinner on Wednesday night or in entertaining friends, like that I was always modifying the recipes. And as someone who's a trained chef and trained in nutrition, that was very easy for me to do, but it wasn't easy for my clients. And so I think the book Food Wise is all about, as the title suggests, it's all about tapping into your nutritional wisdom. This is about intuitive eating. And it's about, like I said before, like finding the foods that satisfy you on every level. Because when I think about how much I enjoy a food, so like, let's say you're lactose intolerant and you go and you get ice cream. In the moment, that experience of eating the ice cream can be very joyous. But then if you're, you know, in pain afterwards, how much did you enjoy that whole experience of the ice cream? I'm not saying don't have it. I just saying you need to understand what your relationship to specific foods are. And in some cases, not eating something is not restriction. It's an act of self-care. So, and it can be liberating when you understand. And I feel like there's so much nutrition information out there that I find that many people are very confused. Is gluten bad? Is dairy bad? Is this good for me? Should I be fasting? Should I eat this? Should I be paleo? Should I be vegan? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of information. And I find it very difficult for people to figure out, A, like, well, what's the right thing for my body and my nutrition needs? And then how do I fit this into my life? So Foodwise has a 21-day program called The Reset. And basically what we do is we eliminate the low-hanging fruit. We eliminate gluten, dairy, added sugars, processed oils, alcohol. You do it for 3 weeks. In those 3 weeks, you've got all these recipes that don't feel like you are sacrificing anything. You know, there's pasta recipes, you know, there's lots of fun stuff in there for you to eat and resources to help you make this like a very delicious 3 weeks. Right. And then after that 3 weeks, you reintroduce the gluten and the dairy slowly. And then you say, okay, wow, I feel a little bloated. I have a little brain fog today. And then you can make the decision moving forward. You're empowered to say, okay, we're going to my favorite restaurant tonight. They have the most amazing focaccia bread in olive oil. I'm going to town because I know exactly how that's going to make me feel. And not this like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have eaten that. Or I don't know, this like gray area of uncertainty. My philosophy is not to make foods necessarily off limits, but rather to empower you with the understanding of how your body might react to it. And maybe you'll find, hey, I don't have a lactose intolerance. And I found these really like high quality forms of dairy products and I feel great eating them, you know, and that's always a good outcome as well. So it's not necessarily that we have to eliminate these foods forever. It's really about understanding your body's tolerance level and, you know, what you want your relationship to that food to be.
Right. I love that. And I practiced for a little bit in functional medicine. So this was a big topic. And what I've since come to kind of learn for myself and where my headspace is at now is I think it's such an individual thing, you know, like blanket statements, like everyone should be doing this, I think is really, really tricky because everyone has unique needs. So one thing for me, like I was like, well, let me see how I feel off of gluten. People are talking about gluten, this, gluten, that, but I love having sprouted English muffins in the morning. And I was choosing like higher quality things and I went off of it and I was like, I feel the same. I feel all right. But it
was not a problem for you.
It was one of those things where I did a little testing, you know, I was like, let's see. And I approached it with a sense of curiosity. And I think that's a really great way to do it because our mindset going into these things then can impact how we feel. And if we do need to make a change, it can impact whether or not we're going to be able to stick with it. Because if it's like, I can't have that and I really want it. Well, I mean, that's going to be a really hard chance. You're not going to be like just then splurging on this food all the time versus, okay, well, you know, I feel really good. And like you said, it's like a form of self-care. I really like how I feel. So how about I really enjoy eating these foods? So I think that mindset is really important. I would love to hear your thoughts on that, how to like get into a mindset to support ourselves throughout our nutritional journeys.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you're saying. So couple things here. First of all, we can have toxic relationships with food. So with alcohol, with sugar, with carbohydrates, where we feel like we need it and it's not, and it's really harming us and it's not making us happy. We're getting that like, you know, momentary short-lived dopamine fix, but in the long term, it's detrimental to our health and our happiness. Because I think, like, why is anyone interested in health and wellness to begin with? It's because we want to be happy. We want to feel good. And there's a huge physical and mental connection. So anytime there's any sort of restriction, there's going to be a binge on the other end. But I think that you can empower your food choices when you understand more about nutrition in your body. So there are some people who are going to need to be 100% gluten-free, but only 1% of the population has celiac. It's not that common. And food intolerances and sensitivities are not so black and white. So you might, you know, and there's a lot of nuance, like with gluten in particular. In the fermentation process, almost all of the gluten dissipates. Same with in dairy, all the lactose. So sourdough bread might work really well for some people. If you eat something every day, your sensitivity level accumulates. So, you know, maybe it's like you like to, your kids love pizza. You have to be pragmatic about these things. You're not going to go to the pizza restaurant with your family and just order the green salad if you can have the pizza with your family. If this is causing stress, if it's not sending a good example for your children, then maybe it's not good for you. So we have to think about more than just the intrinsic, like quantifiable value of the food, like how many grams of carbohydrates it has, and think about your relationship to it in your life. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's that aspect of it. And I think it's better when you're in control. If you have celiac disease and you're going out for pizza, like that might just be like a non-starter for you. You need to go to a different restaurant. But if you just have like a mild sensitivity, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to eat. I'm going to swap my toast in the morning for a high quality gluten-free alternative. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday night, our family ritual is to get pizza or go to this Italian restaurant. I'm going to enjoy it then. And that's your balance. But for everyone, it's really individual. And I always think of nutrition as a little bit of trial and error. You have to do some experiments on yourself. So I have another book that I didn't mention called The Well Journal. And it's a food journal that helps you connect the dots between what you eat and how you live. And I like to think of it as like the antithesis to My Fitness Pal, because, you know, it's in this like pretty dusty rose cloth bound journal and you're writing your feelings. And, you know, the idea behind it is like, oh, wow. Like when I have a donut for breakfast, I am craving sugar, irritable, and tired all day, versus when I have some, you know, scrambled eggs on an English muffin, I have really sustained energy. Or when I don't sleep well the night before because I was like watching too much Netflix or whatever it is, then that really affects, like when you can see that qualitative data, it's really empowering and you can set yourself up for success so that you're not fighting that afternoon sugar craving. You are managing it from the start. Yeah.
Right. And I love that. And I love the trial and error. And I think that's something that you can go about in a fun way. And for me, like kind of going back to my journey with food, I tried being a vegetarian for a little bit. I tried being a pescatarian. I tried being vegan. And ultimately I've made my way back into eating meat, but it was kind of, I felt guilty about it at first because I was giving it up. But then I found with my body that I was really like wanting it and I felt like I really needed it. So I was at the point now where I noticed like, huh, I actually feel better when I have some of that in my diet. So it was like, okay, let me try and get some like sustainable practices and pay attention to some of those things like grass fed, et cetera. But I think there's so much information out there about diet that it's really overwhelming and it's really hard to know what works for you unless you try.
Absolutely. And most blanket statements about any sort of food or any sort of diet are untrue. You know, like when it comes to animal protein in particular, I mean, we could do another podcast about the animal protein and climate, but you know, a cow is not a cow. There's a huge difference, like nutritionally and its impact on the climate of like conventionally raised beef and, you know, a grass, you know, all grass fed beef. They're not the same food. And the same thing is for plants. We're seeing a lot of nutrient deficiencies. I run micronutrient tests on most of my clients, and we're seeing that the nutrient deficiencies in the soil are being mirrored in our own deficiencies. And we have to talk about the pesticide use. So, you know, even if something's organic, if they're growing 1,000 acres of carrots in soil that doesn't have any diversity, you know, we need the cow poop, like, you know, then there's no microbes, there's no nutrition in the soil. I read a stat that broccoli has 50% less nutrients than it had 50 years ago. So I think that we have to be critical of all of the food that we eat, and not just, we love to demonize one thing and say, oh, it's the sugar. Oh, it's the fat. Oh, it's the cholesterol. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's this. And I think we are part of this ecosystem with the plants and the animals. And so if something's not good for the environment, it's not good for our bodies. Mm-hmm. And we're so removed from that ecosystem. Most of us are, because, you know, we live in urban environments and we feel very far removed from the farm of like where our food is actually growing. What's happening there? What's going on with the soil? I think so, that's really important.
So curious, like, what would you suggest for people to start paying attention to when it comes to labels or the food that they're buying, kind of from the sustainability angle? Because I'm starting to read more about this. I'm starting to think more about this in my own life. And I think for a lot of people, it just might not be on their radar yet. And so I'm wondering, like, what are some of the basics where people can start to like wrap their heads around this subject?
Well, a study just came out that said 80% of Americans, children included, have glyphosate in their urine. So glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup. It's, you know, the pesticide that we're spraying all over everything. And this started just a few decades ago. So I think we're seeing some of the effects of all of this glyphosate already. You know, some people who say, well, I feel fine when I eat gluten in Europe, but, you know, when I eat gluten here, I feel sick. And it could be from the pesticides. So it's something that I'm starting to see glyphosate-free labels. So I think that that is something that we will see more of as studies are starting to come out to confirm our suspicion that this is not safe for us, for human consumption. But also, I'm really excited about the regenerative farming movement. And, you know, right now there's not as much being done as there could be, but I feel like it's a growing movement. And in regeneration, they're really focusing on the health of the soil for future generations. And by focusing on the health of the soil, like I mentioned, then you're going to have more nutrient dense foods.
Okay. Got it. I mean, this is all, it's so incredibly important. So I think that we could just have a whole nother like hour long plus conversation about this, but let's segue a little bit into how people can start to prepare healthy meals at home when they're busy. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I hear a lot when I talk with friends, and I talk about myself is like, oh, what am I going to make tonight? Oh, I'm in a rush. I'm running the kids around from practice to another practice. And sometimes like the what's for dinner gets pushed to the last like 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
So any tips for how, we all can just get more prepared and really support ourselves to have these healthy meals in place?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I talk about this a lot in the book, and I also just released a course called Meal Prep Made Easy. And what I think it's really important to set your expectations so that you can set yourself up for success. Because oftentimes what I see with anyone who's trying to start a healthy eating regimen or do certain things is that our expectations of ourselves are so high. Oh, I'm going to make my own milk. I'm going to do all these meals. I'm going to make these elaborate dinners. And hey, I love that. But most of us, myself included, do not have time to do that. So we have to be practical when we are planning our meals and make sure that whatever we're doing is realistic. With all of my clients, I tell them I have two rules. You have to like the food and it has to be easy, because if it doesn't tick those two boxes, there's absolutely no way you're going to do it for longer than a week. So we have to figure out how to make this easy. So I like to think of your meals in like three different categories. So there's like your composed dishes. Like you're like, okay, I'm going to make this recipe from this cookbook tonight for dinner. All right. And that's wonderful. I love that. And then there are what I like to call the assembly jobs. So the assembly meals are where you already have the ingredients and it takes 5-10 minutes to throw it together. Maybe it needs to be heated. Maybe it doesn't need to be heated. You can do tacos. You can do grain bowls. You can make salads. You could do stir fries. There's lots of things that you can have some ingredients minimally prepped, or buy things that don't need to be prepared. You can get pre-washed lettuce. You can get shelf-stable mm-hmm. proteins, and throw together a complete meal in 5 or 10 minutes. And then I think it's also important to look at the prepared foods and takeout options in your area and have a couple go-tos. Yeah. I always operate off of a good, better, best mentality. So we love best, you know, going to the farmer's market, making all of your meals. That's amazing. But if you can't do best, that doesn't mean don't do anything. It's maybe you have a restaurant that has some really healthy takeout options. It might not be as perfect as the best meal, but it's better than just throwing your hands up in the air and saying, well, because I wasn't able to make a healthy dinner tonight, this means I'm not able to do this whole healthy eating thing mm-hmm. at all.
Right. I love that. Now I'm wondering your take on seafood. So I enjoy seafood once in a while, and I like salmon. And I know with salmon, there's wild and then there's mm-hmm. farmed. And then I've read different things about, you know, avoiding farmed salmon, the different yeah. things in there are not necessarily good for you. I'm curious what your take is, if you've heard anything new on this. I haven't looked into this in a little bit. So just wondering for, I always see salmon on menus, and so many of my friends are like, oh, I'm getting the salmon. And I'm thinking to myself, whenever we're out, I'm like, well, it's probably the farmed salmon, unless it says it's wild. So I'm just curious if you have what your take is on seafood right now.
Yeah. Well, in general, at a restaurant, unless they say, this is the organic, wild, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It's not. So because they're paying extra for it, and they're certainly going to put that on the menu, I think most of the time. But the best, the healthiest seafood for you to eat, there's an acronym, SMASH: salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring. So I feel like salmon's probably the most prolific of those, the one that people like the most. And of course, wild salmon is wonderful, but there's also some great sustainably farmed. The sustainably farmed movement is really gaining traction. And I get my salmon at the farmer's market every week, and I talk to a lot of the fishmongers, and they're really excited about some of the sustainably farmed salmon that they are, that they're getting in. And I buy that a lot because the sockeye salmon is very good for you, really high in omega-3s, but has a very fishy taste. And so, I mean, I personally don't love that taste. Mm-hmm. I like the fattier tasting salmon, but, you know, that's harder to get wild. Another salmon that I love, Patagonia, everyone's favorite company. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people don't realize that they have a whole line of shelf-stable foods, and they have a bunch of seafood, and their salmon is amazing. It's hyper sustainable. It's smoked, but it's more like a smoked fillet instead of that kind of like raw.
Okay.
And it comes in this like cardboard box that you can just keep in your pantry. Huh. You don't even need to refrigerate it. And one fillet is kind of, I think it's about 2 servings, it's about 6 ounces. I think, you know, 3 to 4 ounces mm-hmm. is probably enough. And I do that a lot for lunch, and it requires no cooking. I'll just make a salad, some avocados, some cucumbers, a nice dressing, put the salmon on top. It's like 5 minutes. Couldn't be better for you or better for the environment. And they also have some tinned fish that are really great, super high in omega-3s, really sustainable.
Quick and easy too.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And then, So we talked a little bit about seafood. Now we are heading into the fall season, almost there. So that gets me thinking about like crock pots and things like that. Do you use crock pots, or what's your thought on like that slow cooking of like set it and then go about your day?
I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like a lot of curries in the crock pot.
Okay.
Or even like I make rice, and you don't have to monitor it. Just press the button.
Yeah.
Away. But yeah, I think that, or soups and stews, mm-hmm. I think that it's a great way to save time, increase flavor. I'm a huge fan of crock pot or one pot meals.
Love it. Now I'm curious, what were your meals yesterday? Let's just go back a day. I'm curious, a typical day, what did you have, or did you have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then some of your favorite snacks in there?
Okay. What do I have? I normally have a smoothie for breakfast, or I'll do a yogurt. I'm obsessed with Coco June. I don't know if you've tried it, but
I haven't. What is it?
It's so good. It's a coconut yogurt.
Oh, okay.
It is excellent. And I really like the Purely Elizabeth keto granola.
It's, okay. Oh, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. It's so great. So, normally I'll do a smoothie or I'll do my little yogurt concoction. And then for lunch, it was yesterday. What even happened yesterday? Normally what I'll do for lunch is I will make some sort of a salad, like I mentioned, with the Patagonia provisions, or I'll do a sandwich with like a little side arugula salad. Mm-hmm. It's really busy in my household at lunch. My husband and I both run our own businesses and work from home. So we're normally just like running in and out of the kitchen, putting something together. So I always try and have some really quick and easy assembly lunches.
Yeah.
For dinner, I was out last night, but the night before, I went out to dinner with a girlfriend, which I probably do. I probably go out to eat once or twice a week. But normally, like the night before, for example, we had taco night, which is one of my favorite things to do. With my son's almost three, and I, as best as I can, I don't always do this, but we try to eat the same foods. And we have a rule in my house. You don't have to eat anything you don't want to eat. You know, big kids try. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. But I find that when we're eating together, and we try to eat like really a diversity of cuisines and flavors, because I really want him to have, develop a palate where he's experienced a lot of different flavors and styles of cuisines from all around the world and different cultures. So we'll go get sushi. You know, we try to have like different things. I lived in Asia for almost 4 years. So I really like Asian flavors. So we cook a lot of that at home, and we live in Southern California. So it's a lot of tacos. So we love taco night. I get the grass-fed beef. I love the Siete taco seasoning. It's so easy.
I like that too.
Also, Siete has, I'm just like Siete ad, but like they have the best refried beans that doesn't have any canola oil or anything in it. And they do hard taco shells. So I made that the night before for dinner, and we were rushing back from school. It was like getting late. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 6 o'clock. We got to eat, cause we got a little one. And it took me 15 minutes. And I just like made the ground beef really quickly. Yeah. I heated up the beans, cut up some lettuce with avocado, a little pico de gallo. If I had more time, I would have sauteed a bunch of bell peppers or something, but I didn't have time that day. And it kind of hit the spot, and everyone ate their dinner.
It's perfect. Love a good taco night. I think that's like a hit for a lot of families.
Always a crowd pleaser. Or we'll do nachos. So I take the chips, and instead of just eating the chips alone, I load it up with protein, you know, from the ground beef and the beans. And I put, you know, a bunch of veggies on top and lettuce and avocado and salsa. And so it feels like you're eating chips, but it's really a very healthy meal.
Delish. So we are getting close to the end, but before we kind of close up with a quick wellness lightning round, I'm wondering if you have anything else you want to share. And then I also want to know, do you have any top foods that come to mind that you think are like powerhouse foods? Like you're getting a lot of nutritional value in these foods, maybe like your top five, and then we'll kind of come to the end there.
The powerhouse foods are the ones that have multiple macronutrients in them. Like, first of all, I think that protein is where you're always going to get the most bang for your buck. You don't need to eat a lot of it. Like I mentioned, I think 3 to 4 ounces. And when you're having higher quality protein, you're going to get more protein per ounce. You're going to get more, more amino acids, more antioxidants, more B vitamins, more of all the good stuff. And you don't need to eat quite as much. So I'm very into diversity of proteins, and then also of plants. So I try not to think of superfoods. I try to think of dietary diversity, because every food has its own unique mix of vitamins, minerals, you know, micro and macronutrients. And then with plants, we've got all these phytonutrients and antioxidants. And so the more diversity you get in your diet, the more nutrition you're going to get. So I have this little challenge. Maybe this will be my alternative to what you said, but I have this challenge that I ask my clients to do, is to eat 20 different vegetables in 1 week. Ooh. And so I count different lettuces. So you can have like kale, spinach, romaine, arugula, like, you know, those are all different.
Yeah.
Herbs I'll count as vegetables, garlic, onion, ginger. Those are all, you know, so people normally roll their eyes at me when I say that. And then once I start counting it off, you know, you can get like 12 in a sweet green salad. So
yeah, there you go.
Kind of retraining your mind, because especially when we go to the grocery store, it's like, okay, I'm going to get spinach, I'm going to get broccoli, and we get the same things every week. But thinking about, well, how can I get more diversity in my diet? And like what you said about fish, I love fish. I wouldn't say eat it every single day for every meal.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you having fatty fish a few times a week is an important part of a healthy diet, but you want to have diversity of all of the foods that you're eating and make sure that you are getting like the micronutrients, the vitamins and the minerals balanced. And then also the macronutrients, that you're getting lots of fiber from those veggies, that you're getting lots of protein, and that you're getting those healthy fats.
That's great. So at this point, we are going to be coming to the wellness lightning round. Before that, anything else you want to share before we start to go to the end?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I'm always trying to convey to my clients, anyone that I'm working with, is that this can be fun. Is that how, when you find your sweet spot of where your nutrition intersects with the foods that you like to eat, it is liberating. And so it takes work to figure it out, because you're going to have to, you know, let go of some foods that maybe aren't serving you, or change some habits. And so it's always a little bit of work to begin with. But then once you get there, it just makes things so much easier, so much more enjoyable. There's nothing like waking up feeling energized, excited about the day. And that's what I hope that nutrition, working through nutrition, will help people with.
I love it. And I'm going to put a link to pre-order your book in episode details, so people can get their hands on it and get it, that order in, so that they get it right when it gets released. Yeah. So a couple questions for you. First one, you are on a desert island and you can only bring three foods with you. That's all you're going to be able to eat while you're there. So what would those three foods be?
Okay. I would bring really good olive oil. I do love salmon, so maybe I would bring salmon. And then I would bring, you know, a really, like, I don't know, broccoli. It's a really good veggie. Have veggies on the island.
A really good veggie. That would make, that'd be yummy. Like a nice salmon.
I got the fiber, I got the protein, I got the fat. I feel like I could eat that a lot.
There you go.
I can't live without a good olive oil. So that's always my number one item.
So where do you get your olive oil?
California olive oil is very, very good. I love Brightland olive oil. It's delicious. Okay. And then I oftentimes, I mean, it's one of the perks of living in California, I buy it at the farmer's market in like a huge vat.
I love it.
I go through a lot of olive oil. I basically use olive oil for everything. I cook with it.
It's your go-to. Mm-hmm. So last question that I have for you is, knowing what you know today, what advice would you give to yourself from 10 years ago?
Well, the more I learned about nutrition and my body, the less restrictive I became. So figuring that out. And also, the worst thing for you is stress. So stressing about what to eat is not doing you any good. So doing, you know, if I could go back 10 years, I would try to be a little bit more zen about it. But I know it's difficult when you're trying to figure out your journey and your path, and there's all this overwhelming nutrition information out there. But really learning how to, you know, really just trusting your body and your own nutritional wisdom, that you inherently know the right foods for your body, and leaning into that.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking time with me today, sharing all these insights. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps this show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a disclaimer, the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you, or for any questions regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. Always consult your physician before taking any medications, any over-the-counter drugs, any supplements, vitamins, or herbs, and consult your physician before starting any new lifestyle programs. All information, views, and statements shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinion
opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. They have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Opinions of guests are their own, and Crystal Bauer and this podcast do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. Neither Crystal Bauer nor this podcast takes any responsibility for possible health consequences of a person or persons following the information in this educational content. Always consult your physician for recommendations specific to you. If any product mentioned in this podcast has been received from the manufacturer or public relations team for that product with the express intent of editorial consideration, the product will be identified as such. A product for which Live Greatly receives some form of compensation for promoting will be identified as such.